Welcome and God bless. On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in to our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit votacoma.org.
The God that we serve wants to empower us to live a life of victory. God created us to subdue the earth and to make sure that we rule it and make sure that the world doesn't rule us. And I think that every now and then we have churches that are powerless or Christians that are constantly in struggle. The reason is they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? We serve a God that wants to empower you to be effective at your job. He wants to empower you to lay hands on the sick and command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. He wants to give you everything your heart desires. He wants you to be effective so that he can get glory. There are some of you that if you just gave your life to the Lord and you testified about what God did for you, people would stop in amazement and he would get glory. I believe that there are some of you, you know, I was thinking back, me and my wife, we literally sat there because we get bombarded mentally sometimes. At least I do. Who's ever been there? Just wave at me. You start looking at all the negative things. But I started setting a date on Mondays. I start thinking of all the positive things. No negative. I start thinking of all the people that helped me. All the people that were there. I try not to focus on bad things. Everything's positive. And I started looking back. And I started thinking of some of you. And I start thinking of how far God has brought you. And today you're dignified. Today you're walking. Today you got your family back. Today you got a good job. Come on, somebody. God has given you dignity. You're walking in confidence. Why? Because the power of God fell on your life. And I feel we're living in a day and age where some of you need to testify to the world about what he did for you. Because if some of your coworkers knew who you used to be, they would say, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, we got testimonies of people that laid it all down because they had no other answer. And they gave their life to the Lord. And their life has never been the same. Where are the people that remembered what God did and are willing to tell their story so that he will get the glory? See, this morning I want to stir your faith up. I know you might not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. You're here this morning. You're surrounded by good people. And even though your world might feel like it's crashing down on you, I got good news. There's this promise that God gave to the apostles, and it was extended to us. When Jesus told the disciples they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, in the book of Acts chapter 1, he was essentially promising the power of God's Spirit as a permanent guide in their life. See, in the Old Testament, God would pour his Spirit on a man. But the Spirit of God wasn't available at all times unless God chose. Are you with me? Although the Holy Spirit was not permanently available to God's people, he worked through them and gave them power to achieve things that they would not have been able to accomplish on their own. The good news is God wants to give us power so that we can achieve things we couldn't have achieved on our own strength. See, there are some of you this morning, you're on a spiritual treadmill. Like a one-legged duck, you're swimming in circles. Come on, somebody. Swimming in circles. And God says, all I need you to do is relinquish your strength. I need you to stop depending on your skill, and I need you to trust me with the situation. I need you to step out in faith. I know you're not educated. I know you don't have it all together, but don't worry about that. Leave that to me. Let me make a way so that I can get glory. Acts 1:8 says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. That word power is the ability or strength to perform an activity or deed. Power in the New Testament is sometimes used or interchanged with the word authority. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit provided empowerment for ministry and empowerment to walk in the authority and the victory of God. Now, I started studying and I started asking myself, if we want our church to grow, If we want to build strong ministries, it can't be on the strength of the individual, but it has to be on the authority of God, because it's the Spirit of God that will bring breakthrough. Worship is not about the song you sing. Worship has everything to do with the God you obey. Just because you sing a song don't mean that you're worshiping if your life does not obey the word. Especially, listen to me, especially if you had a one-on-one and God's been dealing with you on some things. See, sometimes God deals with us and we're like, no, that's self-talk. No, God's Spirit convicting, amen. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit provides empowerment for ministry and empowerment to walk in authority. A good example is in Luke chapter 10. God sends out 72 teams of two men, and he sends them out to evangelize. And they came back and they said, man, demons listened to us. Man, we were successful. I'm paraphrasing. But they start testifying about what they've seen. And this is what Jesus says. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. And I got good news for you. That promise is alive today because he died on the cross. God has given you power to trample and tread on serpents and scorpions and to overcome all the schemes of the enemy. So guess what? I know the devil's been scheming against you and your household, but I got good news. If you trust him, if you love him, and you live according to his word, nothing will ever harm you, and he'll give you the ability and power to overcome all things. Somebody help me preach this thing this morning. His power is readily available for you and I. The power to be effective in life. The power to overcome any bondage. The power to overcome your circumstance. And the power to overcome the enemy himself lives within the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me this morning? See, I'm excited because if you knew where I came from, I don't have the skills necessary to build the church. I'm still figuring it out, but I'm learning some things. The Holy Spirit is with me. That I can't deny. Therefore, I might not be educated and I might not have all the degrees that other pastors have, but that's all right. I serve a God that is able to teach me all things. God gets glory when the unwise step into their calling. God gets glory when the weak things of the world step up when nobody else will to confound the strong. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised us a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think that we talk about the Holy Spirit enough. That's what I want to do. Have you ever asked yourself, who is the Holy Spirit? It's an honest question. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the mysterious third person of the Trinity through whom God acts, reveals his will, empowers his people, and makes his presence known to us. See, one of the foundations of the Christian faith, of our faith, is the doctrine of the Trinity, which means there is one God who exists in three different persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to be able to cover everything theologically, but through the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to find evidence in Scripture where you can see that the Holy Spirit was referred to as a person. Are you with me? See, to better understand who the Holy Spirit is, it's best to look at Jesus and the words he used to introduce the Spirit to his disciples. See, in John chapter 14, Jesus is sitting with his disciples. He's not in a public setting. Jesus isn't teaching a large crowd. He is speaking to a small group of people having dinner with his closest friends. Jesus knew the hour. He knew that in 12 short hours, he would be hung on the cross for the forgiveness of mankind. Understanding what the apostles would then go through, he tells them a promise and he gives them instruction. The first thing he tells them at the beginning of the chapter, he says, do not let your heart be troubled. I am going away and I will come back. Then he tells them the second thing. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's a key word. He'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells in you, and he will be with you, and I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now really look at the verbiage there. I think it's pretty heavy. Here Jesus introduces to the disciples another person. He says, I will pray for another helper. Who was this helper? The Holy Spirit. And when you look at the word helper, helper is capitalized. You capitalize something when it's a name. Follow me this morning. See, that word helper, translated in the Greek, is parakletos. And this Greek word only appears 5 times in the New Testament, and every use of this word is connected and refers to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? John 14, 25, 26, he says, all this I have spoken while I am still with you, but the advocate, that word advocate, again is translated parakletos, is the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name. See, the word advocate and helper is translated parakletos. Now, this word has a very interesting meaning. This word means this. The Holy Spirit is one who pleads another's cause before a judge. It's a pleader, a counsel for defense, as a legal assistant or an advocate. In other words, it is one who goes before you and presents a case on your behalf. Are you with me this morning? This is the role of a helper. See, the person the Father will send sounds mysterious. However, the nature of the Holy Spirit is simple yet complex. It's simple in that the Holy Spirit was here to help us. Help us when we're in struggle. Help us when we don't know what to do. Help us when we're faced with making a tough decision. Are you with me this morning? John 14, 26, all this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. See, I want to give you 4 things that the Holy Spirit does for us and how he will help you. Are you with me? And again, I can't cover everything, so I'm breaking it down so that we have something to talk about next week. But the first thing that you see within Scripture, write this down. And I want to challenge some of you. Well, first I want to challenge you. If you don't own a Bible, you need to get a Bible. I was going to ask, like, does anybody own a Bible anymore? Come on, somebody. I get devices. I love devices. But there's nothing like having your own Bible. But I want to challenge you to bring your Bible to church and bring a notepad and paper. If not, make sure that you have a tab on your phone or tablet to take notes. Something happens when you put effort into learning and digesting what God is speaking. Are you with me? So if you're taking notes, that's your cue to pull out your phone. Come on, somebody. Number one, the Spirit will teach you all things. John 14, 26 says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. See, there's good news this morning. There is no subject God isn't an expert in. God can teach you all things. Listen, there are certain jobs you might not be qualified for, but because you love God, you've been walking in his ways, he can bestow favor on your life and open a door for you. And although you don't have the gift, he can just give you the gift or the knowledge needed to make it. Some of you got to start believing in that. Hear me this morning. God wants to teach you some things. God doesn't look for the wise. He looks for the willing. I have a question for you this morning. Are you willing? God's not concerned with your degrees. He's not concerned with what you have, though they may help you. But what God is looking for is a willing vessel that he can teach. We see a good glimpse of this in Acts chapter 4, 13. Peter and John, they're preaching the gospel. They're uneducated men. But people took notice at the power and wisdom within them. Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. The Holy Spirit has the ability to teach you all things. But listen, if you desire to learn something, I challenge you, ask for it. You have not because you ask not. I believe that there are more musicians in the house. I believe there's two or three more drummers. I believe we have a few more guitar players and piano players. My question is there a willing vessel that says, Lord, teach me this instrument? I've known people that at one point couldn't sing, but then they gave their life to the Lord and all of a sudden they were able to sing. God can gift you with your heart's desires. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit can teach you all things. And know this, if God calls you to a task, because there are some you don't answer the call of God because you're afraid. Just wave at me if you're there. We're afraid of the outcome. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid that we'll look dumb. Just wave at me. If God calls you to a task, not only will he guide you, but he'll teach you what you need to know in order for you to be effective. God will never leave you and God will never forsake you. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does, he will remind you, the Bible says, of everything. If you look at the second part of John 14:26, he says he will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit has the ability to bring his word into remembrance. I don't know what it is, but when I'm going through some things and I'm being bashed on every side, a word comes from somewhere. Come on, somebody. Be strong and courageous. Right? God will give you the word to sustain you for whatever season or trial you're walking into. Are you with me this morning? The Holy Spirit helped the disciples remember everything Jesus taught them. This is why the Gospels, listen to me. Today we look at the Bible and sometimes we take it for granted. But if you really look at how the Gospels were written, what's amazing is that the Gospels were written with such accuracy and great detail. How did that happen? The Holy Spirit brought into remembrance the things that he taught. There are some of you, the only thing keeping you from your breakthrough, you got to humble yourself, get in your prayer closet and ask God, remind me what you brought me out of. Remind me the promises over my life. Remind me when I walked in victory, when I had the confidence. I don't know who told you you weren't good enough. I don't know who told you that you couldn't make it, but I'm here to declare victory over your life. And it's time for some of you to get back in your prayer closet and ask God, remind me of the king I'm supposed to be. Remind me that I am a daughter of a king and that nothing can set my value but you. I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you with me this morning? Luke 12:11-12 says this. When you are brought before the synagogue, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. See, when you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit literally will sometimes tell you what to say and what not to say. There's another word for that too. It's called wisdom. Not everything you think you should say, because I've learned one thing. There's two things you'll never get back in life. Time and your words. Once you speak them, you can never draw them back. And have you ever been there? You've been counseling someone. They're going through something. And all of a sudden, words pop into mind and you just say them. You know what? I think you're going to make it. I just think you need to do this and you need to do that. And you're like, where did that come from? And they look at you and they're like, wow, how did you know what I was going through? The power of the Holy Spirit. See, some of you got to stop questioning and start believing. And the first time you step out, some of you got the gift to encourage people in the church and you're not utilizing it. But I'm warning you, your gift might be the difference between someone coming or somebody going. The encouragers need to rise up. I can tell you there were times I thought about leaving the church. But somebody came and said, listen, young man, there's the call of God upon your life. I remember there was a time I was battling at a young age. I was about 24 years old. I was like, what am I even doing here? I'm not educated. I'll never be able to do what they say I'm going to do. People had told me I was called. And I'll never forget. I was like, God, you need to speak to me. And I went and I heard the message. I didn't get anything out of the message that day. I think my heart was hardened. But somebody came and with great compassion, they said, listen to me. God has a calling on your life. And I'm looking forward to the day that I hear stories that you went and you preached the gospel. It was the faith that someone had to speak goodness over my life. Number three, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. Someone say all truth. Man, we need a new building or some AC. Come on, somebody. I'm hurting up here. John 14, 12 and 14 says this. I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Who is He? Holy Spirit. Notice Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth. Now this gives us great insight about the Holy Spirit's power, because Jesus presents the Holy Spirit as the ultimate answer to overcome and undoing the work of Satan, the great deceiver, the father of lies. Isn't it interesting that He would call this Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the opposite of what the enemy is? The father of great lies. Hear me this morning, I'm going somewhere. How many desire to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Just wave at me. How many are tired of feeling like you're under the circumstance? Just wave at me. Then you have to commit your life to walking in truth. Amen. Hear me this morning. You got to commit yourself to walking in truth. John 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him. Understand this. You can't live a worldly lifestyle and expect guidance from the Holy Spirit. Because according to Scripture, the world doesn't accept Him. So if your behavior says one thing Sunday afternoon through Saturday, but on Sunday we lift our hands, that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us and that His grace isn't over our life, but I can't guarantee you that you'll ever walk in victory or in power. Are you with me this morning? I'm talking about next level living. I'm talking about laying some things down, being honest within our spirit and saying, Jesus, I got some issues within my life. I need to relinquish them to you because I'm ready to walk in truth. Listen to me, you cannot live in deception and walk in the power of God. It's like water and oil, they don't mix and can't be in the same container because they will separate. And like I said last week, listen, sin doesn't necessarily take away your salvation, but it will hinder your relationship with the Father. It will create a wedge. Sin was meant to separate. And every time we do something knowingly, because there are some, we know what we're doing already. I get it, you felt like the first two times and you know we prayed for you, that's cool. But over time, it's time to put our big boy pants on and say, I got an issue. And for some, the only way you're ever going to get the breakthrough is if you call on the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Holy Spirit, do a work. I can't do it without you because what I'm involved in is spiritual. Listen to me. Addiction is spiritual. And like that one-legged duck, yeah, that one, come on now. One-legged duck will sit and swim in circles all day long. But I'm talking about noticing the pattern, being truthful with our deceit. That's some hard stuff, huh? Is this too much? Deception is real. And you know what the worst part is? When we know it's wrong and we convince ourselves otherwise. Be careful. Be careful you don't fall into the pattern of lying, because one lie turns into two. Two turns into three. Three turns into four. And over time you begin to make things up in your head and you believe your own lies. I used to be there. You cannot live in deception and walk in the power of God. Living in a worldly manner, listen to me, automatically forfeits your ability to walk in power. That's heavy stuff. It automatically forfeits. Now listen, there are some things that are not salvation issues. There are certain things that aren't salvation issues. But what standard are you going to live by? Are you going to live by the standard that the world gives you? Because if that's the case, you're going to live like the world. My standard is according to the Word. If the Bible says not to do it, that needs to be my standard. Because if I want to walk in this power, I got to obey His commandments. I can't try to water it down. I can't change it. Because if not, I fall back into my own deception. Are you hearing me this morning? Is this hitting anybody? The saddest scripture to me in all the Bible, Judges chapter 16, verse 20. And it's talking about Samson, the man who was called to deliver God's people. Listen to this scripture. He did not know the Lord left him. Study his life. Why did the Lord leave him? Crazy living, running around with all the girls, drinking. But hear me. Are you hearing me this morning? Worldly living will forfeit your right to walk in power. And this is what I don't get. If you're going to do this thing, do it. Like if you're going to follow God, follow God. Like you might as well jump all the way in. It's like the mob. You know too much now. You'll never go back to normal living. You know too much and will be tortured. And for the rest of your life, if you don't jump in, you'll ask yourself questions. What if I would have given my life to the Lord in 2016? What if I would have given my life to the Lord in 2017? Here we are, 2020. I'm like that one-legged duck swimming in a circle. I wonder what would have happened had I jumped all in. Someone say all in.
All in.
Give me five more minutes. You give me five more minutes?
Yeah.
Amen. Give me 10. Yeah. Everyone else is mad at you, boy. They're like, it's cool. Sunday is his anyways. That's good. But Sundays especially. Number four. This is my last one. The Holy Spirit, He tells us what is to come. John 14:14b says, He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tend to you. He will tell you what is yet to come. The key role of the Holy Spirit is to lead us supernaturally into truth and reveal what lies ahead. The Spirit will give you revelation. See, there are some of you, God wants to give you revelation so that you don't fall into the trap that lies ahead. But that revelation is only found in the presence of God. Listen, for some of you, the plan for your life and how to get out of the rut and how to get out of the circumstance that you're in is found in the presence. You ain't going to find it on Facebook. You ain't going to find it in the psychology book. You can go see a psychiatrist. I'm okay with stuff like that, but I'm warning you, the revelation for your life and breakthrough is found in the presence of God. This is why it's important that we learn to respond and engage into a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the voice that speaks to your inner soul. It's the still small voice you hear behind the message when it's preached. It's the inner conviction of truth you feel when you're engaging in something you know you shouldn't be. There are some, you're always convicted. That's the Holy Spirit working in your life. But the power comes
when you overcome. I'm not going to get into it today, but if you read, listen to me, Luke chapter 4. See, some people want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, but they're not willing to be led by the Spirit. See, Luke chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says Jesus was full of the Spirit and by the Spirit was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. A wilderness was a desolate place. It was a place where he would be all alone. No one was going to be there to help him. And the Holy Spirit is trying to separate some of you. He's trying to lead you into the wilderness, but you're like, nah, I ain't going. I'm going to keep coming to church, and hopefully, one-legged duck swimming in the circle. Hopefully, I'm just going to get, the power's going to follow me. No, God said in order for you to get the power, you need to separate. You need to go into the wilderness because I'm trying to take you to a place where you come to the end of yourself. And it's in that place where I can minister to your heart and I can take control. But until you're led by the Spirit, you can't walk in the power of the Spirit. But this is what's heavy. If you read further down, In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus was tempted by the devil himself, the Bible says he walked out in the power of the Spirit. And it was then when he declared his ministry, the Spirit of God is upon me and has anointed me. God wants to anoint some of your life, but you got to be led by the Spirit before you can walk in its power. See, we all have a desire to hear the voice of God. And the truth is, we long for God to speak to us. If not, you wouldn't be here. But this is the cold truth. We get frustrated because we don't know what we're looking for and we're unsure of what God's trying to communicate with us. Wave at me if you're there. Robert Morris, in his book, The God I Never Knew, I think sums it up the best. And as the musicians make their way, he wrote this. Hearing God's voice is vital to breaking out of the old comfort zone and into exciting new levels of effectiveness. Hearing God and responding to Him can take us to new places of intimacy and purpose in Him. See, for some of you, you just need to respond to the Holy Spirit and you'll go into new places of intimacy with God that you never knew was possible. He goes on to write, hearing God's voice begins by recognizing which member of the Trinity is tasked with speaking to us in this season of history. It is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The Father is on His throne. Jesus has been seated at the right hand of God, and according to Hebrews 10:12, Jesus will remain there waiting till His enemies are made His footstool. But the Holy Spirit, however, is active and present and commissioned to interact with us today on earth. For some of you, the next level for your walk is now engaging into a relationship with the Holy Spirit and letting go of deceit. Because He's the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Listen to me. You can't listen to every lie. The Holy Spirit will draw you. That's why you can't be emotional. Don't be an emotional Christian. I don't feel like coming on Sunday, so I'm just not going to come. I'm not going to come on Wednesday. I want to be discipled. Pastor, I want you to work with me. Pastor, I want a relationship with God. But we're nowhere to be found. The church exists. There's more, but I look at, like, I've been reevaluating our church, and I want our church to exist for three main reasons. Number one, to exalt the living God, to praise Him. That's why we put such emphasis on worship. That's why I come up here and I start singing, because I'm going to go to a new level in my praise. I'm going to go, even if I look dumb, it doesn't matter, because I'm not performing for you. I'm performing for the audience of one. I want Him to know that even though I don't know, even though I might not have the best voice, I'm going to lift it up anyways, because I will not let a rock out praise me. There are some, we're so conservative, we're worried about what people think, and pride reigns over our life to where we don't even want to lift our hands. If God is doing a work in you by faith, lift your voice. See, the main reason many people aren't sure if they can hear the voice of God is because they have not engaged or embraced the member of the Trinity whose job it is to speak to them. You got to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not a mysterious person that we don't have access to. He speaks out. We sometimes treat that Holy Spirit as if it's just a mystery. But the Holy Spirit was a promise, a gift from God for us in this day, in this hour, so we can be effective during a time of turmoil. Our world, our country is in trouble. Our schools are in trouble. And if the church doesn't learn to pray, if the church doesn't learn to give up its deception and trade for following truth, we are in trouble. I'm not going to lie, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for what your children are going to have to go through. I'm afraid for what my children are going to experience. But my prayer is that in 2017... we learn to grab a hold of God, and this would be a defining moment for our church, so that when our children grow up, they can say, man, I don't know what happened, but in 2017, there was a changing of wind and direction in our family. I remember we used to be crazy, but all of a sudden, my mom and my dad started grabbing a hold of the Lord, and at a young age, I had songs in my heart. That's how I became a worship leader. That's how I started preaching. At a young age, I used to see my mom praying. I used to see my dad praying. I became an evangelist because my mother, my father used to hit the streets. They used to pray for people at the grocery store, at the gasoline station, because people learned to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit guides us with truth. He makes known to us things to come, and He gives us revelation of heavenly mysteries. There are words that God wants to birth in your heart so that you can preach them. And they're going to be profound. People are going to look and be like, how in the world did you come up with that word? And all you're going to be able to say, I learned to engage with the Holy Spirit. I learned to pray. I learned to acknowledge Him. I learned to be sensitive to the guidance of the Spirit. And as a result, my life has never been the same.